such peace tonight.
Amen.
Man, we need to shake the dust off. Everybody's been through the storm twice. Well, two's a witness, right? So praise God. That means you can go through any storm.
That's right.
Praise God. Many people are still without power and electricity, but we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Many people don't have lights, but we're the light.
Amen.
You know, that's a prime opportunity to be able to be a witness. And in being a witness, it's very important. Jesus said, He told His disciples to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that they can have power to witness and be witnesses. Amen? And so it takes power. It takes the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be able to give you the power to be a witness. And with the presence of God in our life, there are certain characteristics of God's presence that is in us and through us. And He loves to expose Himself to others through us. He delights in it. He delights in it. Remember, Jesus came as a man. Amen? He exposed Himself through the man Jesus, who was God. He loves using His children. And I don't want to use the word using, but I just want to glorifying His children. Because He glorifies us as He expresses Himself through us. Is everybody with me? Amen? And in this area of expression, that He expresses Himself through us, there are certain characteristics of the presence of God. Now we know that the sevenfold of the Holy Spirit, which is a representation of the Spirit of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 11, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and so forth, those are the characteristics of God's presence with us and His attributes. But then there's another area where every individual has a specific uniqueness that God created them for. And in that, there's a co-labor with God that no one, you can't hear me? Can anybody else hear me? Not now?
No.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
How about now?
No. Hear me now.
This is not a Verizon commercial.
No.
How about now? Praise God. Is this thing on? Yes. It says on.
No.
Hallelujah.
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 No.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. How about now? How about now? Well, praise God. Anyways, are we recording? Praise God, we're recording. You'll have to get the tape if you didn't hear it. Can you hear me? Too bad. Move up. Praise God. So in this arena of how God expresses Himself, and we're uniquely made, His presence always has a specific characteristic. And God's presence in your life and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, there are things what we call fruits. Fruits. Fruits determine where you are in God. Does everybody understand that? Fruits are essential. There are spiritual fruits that God has given. They're not our spiritual fruits. You understand that? They are the fruits of the Spirit. So depending on where you're at with the Spirit, it depends what kind of fruit you're manifesting. Amen? And this is where God wants possession of every part of our being and everywhere. Would you turn to Galatians chapter 5? Oh, hallelujah. Spiritual fruit. Glorious. Galatians chapter 5. Glory. And we've read this many times. In verse 16, would you read it with me, please? And I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, and revelries, and the like. Anything similar to it. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God or have eternal life. But the fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first fruit?
Love.
What's the second?
Joy.
What's the third?
Peace.
Long-suffering. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. So we start, the first one is love. We end it with what?
Self-control.
Whoa. Against such there is no law. Read verse 24 and 25, please. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now let me share something with you. He just said the passions and the desires of the flesh are these works of the flesh. What we just read. Who will not enter the kingdom of God. Now, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now he's going to do a comparison. He says, listen, let us not be can what? Because that's going to move you out of the Spirit. Provoking one another. That's going to move you out of the Spirit. Envying one another. Those things are fruits of the flesh. Even though it doesn't say it. Amen? But if you're one that provokes, if you're one that envies, if you are conceited, those are works of the flesh, and it allows you to know where you are in the Spirit. Because it says, walking in the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're not provoking. You're not conceited. You're not envious. You don't have outbursts of wrath. There's a difference, isn't there? What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love. The love is not a gift. People think love is a gift. It's not a gift. It is a fruit. Amen? Love is a fruit. And I want to show this with you for a minute because people get this so confused so many times. Now we want to have a Spirit-led life, don't we? So these are things. Now, God begins to expose certain things in our life. And if you're really desiring to walk godly, if you're really desiring, because that's your choice, you have a choice to want to please God. If you're desiring to walk godly, you're going to desire that the fruits of the Spirit manifest through you. Now, you cannot create the fruits to manifest through you. Nothing you do can manifest the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit manifests His fruits through you. You can't. So you have to make the choice to want to get in and get close to God and walk in the Spirit. Then His fruits are manifested. Does everybody understand that? So many times people are, and of course the Bible tells us to judge by fruit, right? So depending on where you are in the Spirit and how you're walking in the Spirit determines God manifesting Himself through you, which we call fruits. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Psalm chapter 1. Oh, glory. Psalm 1, verse 1 through 4. Would you read it with me? Can everybody still hear me? Hallelujah. Everyone say, blessed.
Blessed
is the man
who walks
not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So, you know, I mean, are these manifestations of the fruits of the Spirit? Of course not. He says, blessed is the man who doesn't do such things, but those who do such things are manifestations of the flesh, aren't they? But these things are representation of, okay, here's a guideline. So it means that we must be willing to take counsel, right? No fellowship with darkness, and put a guard over our tongue. Well, that just seems to tell us what just happened about when he said, don't provoke, don't be conceited, and don't be jealous. In verse 2, but his delight is in the what?
Law
of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now listen, for me and you now, it's a representation not only of his law, but his it represents his word. But for me and you now, our desire, our delight is to be in his presence. Our delight is to be in his presence. If you're walking in his presence, he's going to manifest his presence through his fruits, through you. Okay? And in his law, or in his presence, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a what?
A tree.
Planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its seasons, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall what?
Prosper.
Man, let me tell you something. When you're in the Spirit, things prosper. Only prosperity, and it talks about, you know, the Word tells us in the book of John, not the Gospel, but the epistles of John, it talks about being prosperous, being in good health, as your soul prospers, and so forth. So that means that there must be a renewing, isn't there? There must be a choice where you and I are wanting to do something where God can have his way in our life and manifest himself through us, that as he begins to manifest himself through us, fruits begin to manifest. It just says it right here. Now look it. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That means near God's presence. And that brings forth its fruit in its season. That means you're connected in the river of living water where the presence of God is. That means you're going to bear good fruit. And the leaf won't wither. And whatever you do shall prosper. Why? Because you're going to be led by the Lord, not by assumption. Amen. But by the Lord. And everything you do will prosper. So there was a guideline. He says, make sure you take counsel, no fellowship with darkness, and put a guard over your mouth so that you don't provoke, so that you're not conceited, and so you don't get jealous. Amen? Praise God. Romans 6. And verse... Oh, hallelujah. Verse 20. Romans 6, verse 20. Would you read it with me? For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to what? Holiness and the end, everlasting life. Now you got to understand something, that only holiness can come through the presence of God. Remember, the Lord told Moses, take your shoes off because you're on holy ground. Moses had to make a choice of obedience, didn't he? Which allowed him to come on God's presence. If Moses could argue with him, he would have died. He could have walked down there. He could have said, well, listen, let me take a couple minutes, you know. He would have died because God was allowing him to stand in his presence. But he said, take those shoes off. Because when Moses left his presence, he would never put on those same pair of shoes. They would have been changed. Because he would have been different. You know why? After Moses put on those shoes and he left God's presence, he bore fruits of the Lord. That man was the most humble man, and God said it himself, he was the most humble man created. Instead of vengeance on his enemies, he used to weep and cry for mercy. Lord, don't do this to them. Please don't do this. He was a humble man. the humblest man that there was besides Jesus. So we see here, you have your fruit to holiness. These fruits are holy. They are the fruits of the Spirit that manifest through me, that God can expose Himself to other men. They are holy. Holy. You know, God says, I'm coming for a blemish-free church, a bride. That's holy and blemish-free. You know, we've always talked about fruits of the Spirit, but we never really, you know, and I've talked about it before, and I'm like, Lord, you want to talk about the fruits of the Spirit? He says, yes, because, you know, it's like my children don't really understand. They just talk about fruits of the Spirit, but they don't really understand it's myself expressing myself through them. And it's to be holy. But they're neglecting my presence wherever they may be. The world is looking at them. What the world is looking at is they're looking for my presence and they don't know it. So He's going to manifest His presence through me and you by the fruits of the Spirit. It's not always about casting out a devil. It's not always about laying hands on the sick for healing, is it? It's about fruits of the Spirit. Some people are going to go, man, I don't understand that person. Why do you love? People are going to look at us and say, man, what great love that individual has. Or somebody's going to look at us and say, what a grumbler or a complainer. Or what a provoker. Or what a person of envy or conceit. Or jealousy or outbursts of wrath. How can you say such things? You're supposed to be a Christian. That person claims to be a Christian. How many times did that come to you when you were near someone and said, man, that person, that fruits ain't manifesting in that person? Hello? Is everybody all right? Praise God. In verse 23. For the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Death, and the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians chapter 5. Praise you, Master. These fruits are holy. Holy. They're not our fruits. Just like the gifts of the Spirit, they're not our gifts. We need to continue to look and see if the fruits of the Spirit are manifesting in us that will let us know where we are. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, would you read it with me? For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Say it again. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. It's in goodness, it's in righteousness, and it's in truth. If those three are not cooperating together, the fruits of the Spirit will not manifest. God will not be able to express Himself through us. But the devil will. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. In verse 11. And have what? No fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what?
Expose them.
Sometimes some people just don't like it to be exposed. They get justifiable. They get angry. Some people get hurt. You know, when God says, I chasten those I love. What's He trying to do? He's trying to express Himself through me and you. As much as possible. And sometimes in the worst circumstance is when He's trying to express Himself through us the most.
Amen.
Instead of getting caught in the ring, you know, the devil likes to suck you in the ring. Because if you get in the ring, you'll lose. Unless God's in the ring with you. And only the Lord can send you in that ring. But the devil's always trying to suck you in the ring in some kind of argument. Somebody's trying to always say something, provoke or whatever. He's trying to suck you in the ring. And you know you're around an evil spirit. Amen. And did you ever notice that you can get around an individual and get irritated? And you just got to get away from the person. It's like, man, that's enough. Because you're not fighting flesh and blood, and it's not that person. Do you understand that? The problem is the spirit that's using that person to get to you. Hello? Praise God. So, it needs to be exposed. And one of the things that God wants to do is expose the unfruitful works. Well, anything that's unfruitful is associated with a demonic presence, isn't it? So God is trying to expose it so He can express Himself. Why? Because darkness, God wants to bring light to, so He must expose the darkness. Once He exposes that darkness, He can express Himself through that area, and it's no longer a stronghold in that person's life. Because three things are manifested: peace, righteousness, and truth. Those three must always be together. Is everybody with me? Or was it goodness and truth? Goodness. I'm sorry. Goodness. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Oh, praise God. Is everybody all right? Oh, to God be the glory. Finding out what is acceptable. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Amen? So God is going to allow me and you to go so far, especially if we're crying out to God to say, Lord, I love You. He says, I love You too. And I'm going to express My love to you by exposing you. Because I love you so much, I have to expose you. Because if you go any further the way you are, I'm going to lose you. Oh, hallelujah. John 15. A lot of people have been exposed during these storms. You know, you and I have been so comfortable with air conditioning, cold drinks, food, lights. All of a sudden everything is taken away. All the comforts of carnality. I want my flesh. I want a cold drink. Grumble, 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 grumble. Praise God. You know, if you think about, you know, instead of, we should be so grateful for what we had. I'm telling you, this is a teaching from God that all of these things that are manifesting, where the United States needs to be grateful what we have. You know. We're to be thankful in such a great act. Let me tell you, the Lord said to me, don't look at what you don't have. Look at what you have and use it. And when you've used up what I've given you, then I'll give you more. So many times people struggle because they're trying to get more without using correctly what God has given them. Does everybody understand that? They're not using the fullness of what God has given them. You know, think about it. And I'm going to just use this as an example. When I know that, let's say your car breaks down, right? And the only thing you have in there is maybe a hammer or a four-way lug wrench, right? Let me tell you something. You can find great uses for those two things or just one of them, more than just a hammer for standard use or a four-lug wrench. I mean, you can find great uses for those things when it's in time of need. I mean, you can look around somewhere and you can look for something that you need and find it right in the street. You know that? I mean, I remember one time that I was having a problem. My Harley broke down and I needed some kind of connection here. And I was looking and there was a gum wrapper. I took the aluminum, what was it, Wrigley Spearmint gum, and I used that aluminum to make a connection, you know, so that I can get fire to the points of my bike. I mean, I'm telling you, but you know what? We begin to take things for granted. It's like when we first come off the street or whatever, we've come out of some circumstance, we buy the one set of clothes, we buy the second set of clothes, and the next thing I need another set, and then I need another, and I need, and I need, and then I need. You know, and I remember losing everything and having nothing. And in one perspective, it was a blessing to lose everything because I neglected everything I had and took it for granted. And then as it came back bit by bit, I was so grateful. So grateful. And I'm so grateful even to this day. You know, I'm just sure, when I take a hot shower, I thank the Lord. Thanks. Thank you for a towel I can dry myself off. Thank you for shampoo. Thank you for deodorant. And there's times when I bless others and thank God for deodorant. You know? But you know, I mean, in every little thing, God wants to be a part of because He wants to express Himself through us. But He can't express Himself through us if we're not grateful either. You know, because gratefulness is a fruit of being humble. When you're grateful, grumbling is a fruit of a hardened heart. It's uncontent. It can't be fulfilled. It can't be satisfied. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, everyone has gotten into that, and we can get sucked back into that. Depending on where you are with the Lord, you're going to get convicted quickly or you're going to let it run on. Depending on how bad you want to walk in the Spirit determines whether you're going to finally turn around and stuff your face with humble pie and be grateful and thankful and look at everything as a blessing and not just take a granted blessing. Oh, thank you, Lord, for blessing me. But I need more. Thank you, Lord, for me. So many times people take the blessing of the Lord unworthily. They express it with their mouth, but their heart is not there. You know, you and I are blessed to be in this room tonight. There should be just, if anything else, just to be in God's presence is just grateful. Just to know that He called you, there should be joy. No matter what is going on around you and what's happening and this and that and things aren't working out your way. And the vehicle you just bought broke down or you just spent a lot of money on something else or this or that or whatever. No matter what. We can always look up and say thank you, no matter what's going on. You know, just to say thank you is a fruit of God expressing Himself through you. Thank you. See, and when He says, give me this because it's really a problem for you, thank you. Because you know better than I do. Thank you. The next morning, all right, where is it? my coffee. Give me this. Give me that. I'm no good unless I have my coffee. Well, brother, you're associated with the wrong thing. You're getting high off the wrong thing. I'm no good unless I have my Fruit Loops in the morning. Bummer, I'm no good unless I have prayer in the morning. We better go on. John 15. I got up on the wrong side of the bed. No. You got up on the right side of the bed. You just need deliverance and healing. A little humble pie eating. A little gratefulness that you got out of a bed. Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
John 15 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Let me tell you something. He'll prune you. Prune. You know, that means he's trying to cause you to bear more fruit. The pruning in this is there's going to be more chastening involved. You love me? It says, if you love me, you'll obey me, right? You'll abide in me. So he says, okay, you keep telling me you love me. Now come here. Now, before you can get any closer, I'm going to have to do a little pruning. Because there's some things in there that must be exposed so you can get closer to me. You know, when we were praising and worshiping the Lord, and as we were just standing in the presence of God, I felt the breeze of the Holy Spirit come through, and I heard conviction. I thought, conviction? Yes, I want my people to repent. Conviction. And then I heard refreshing. Remember, the blood always goes before the Spirit. Even though you and I repent, repent means to turn away. Lord, forgive me for this, that I just did 1,452 times. Does he forgive you? Yes. Are you delivered? No. Are you free from it? No, you're managing it. If there's something constantly that you're always having to repent over, you're managing it and you're not free from it. And deliverance and healing needs to be manifested in there. Okay. And verse 3, would you read it? Let's go back to verse 2. That's so good. Every branch in me, Jesus says, in me, that means you must abide in him, that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So is it God's desire that you bear more fruit? Yes, why? Because he's trying to express more of himself through you. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So you got to understand, when the fruits are not manifesting, you're not abiding. You're not in God's presence. You're not walking in the Spirit. Listen, we should be able to walk in the Spirit in every area. Whether it be home, job, schools, whatever it is. We should be able to walk in the Spirit. That's what God desires. Why? Because isn't he trying to express himself through me and you in every area? He's trying to express himself through us. Let's go a little further. In verse 5. Would you read it? I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done. So he's saying, listen, without bearing good fruit, without you allowing me to express myself through you, your prayers will not be answered. Hello? Do I need to say that again? He says, listen, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, because he said, you can't bear fruit unless you abide in me, right? You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. If you are not allowing God to express himself through you by bearing good fruit, he says, I won't answer your prayers. Because it says here, you will ask what you desire and it shall be what? Given to us. See, there's an area where we begin to grow in Christ where it comes to a place where maturing begins to manifest, where God is expecting me and you. In other words, there are certain things where you don't have to, let's see, should I pray about this? No. He's expecting you to do certain things to bear good fruit. Amen? That's a part of maturing as a believer, isn't it? We're growing in Christ. We're abiding. You cannot grow without abiding. If you're not one who abides in Him, you can't grow. You'll crawl. That's why Paul said, you know, I speak to you as babes, immature. Just like someone who just comes to the Lord, God has more grace for it. Do you know that? That's why sometimes it's cool to hang around with a baby. God's got favor with them. I mean, babies have favor of God. I remember when I was first saved and whatever, I hung around with people who were learned, were older. I didn't hang around with younger babies. I hung around with others, and I think they kept me around with them because God was showing me favor. I don't know. But anyways, It was a blessing because it was allowing me to grow faster. And as it began to mature, and they always, you know, just like when a baby acts up, you know, they get chastened. I was able to be corrected quickly. You know, this is not the expression of God. This is not how God expresses himself, by being around elders. And as I began to learn about God expressing himself, I found more and more favor. When I was offended, I didn't try to go after. I got to my knees and I cried. And I found favor. Because when somebody hurt God's baby, he took vengeance, not the person. He always makes a way. Then as we mature, don't get me wrong, none of us has matured. As we begin to mature more and more, there are certain expectations that God is bringing us up to a level. Why? So he can express himself through us. That's why he says, I'm going to prune you. He doesn't prune someone right off the bat. He begins to prune you as you begin to mature more. But you can't mature more unless he prunes you. Sometimes some people run from the pruning. Why? Because before he can prune you, he's got to expose you. As he exposes you, he prunes you, which allows maturing to manifest. And then he expresses himself more through you. Now listen, if you were to just take a moment and just think tonight, where today in your walk that God was allowed to express himself through you and where you grieved him. That's called grieving the Holy Spirit. See, when you can't bear fruit, when he can't express himself through you, you grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, think about just certain little things that we've done that prevented God from expressing himself through us today. That's why we need to repent every night. Amen? And you'll find that in the areas where the closer you are to the Lord, the quicker you'll repent, the more sensitive you'll be to the conviction. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to verse 16. Would you read it with me? He said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you." Say appointed.
Appointed.
You, that you should go and what? Bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain. Say remain.
Remain.
That whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. Now let me share something with you. One of the things that will happen is the fruits that you'll be bearing, somebody may take from that. Because you've got to remember, you're supposed to be a tree of righteousness now. Right? You're going to be handing out fruit. Well, who's the tree of life? The Lord, right? Amen? Well, now you're supposed to be the tree of life, aren't you? Handing out fruit. So somebody's going to want to eat your fruit. They're going to be blessed by that fruit. They're going to say, "Man, I don't understand. That person has love, compassion. You know, I want what that person is." They may not even express it, but the Holy Spirit is working on them. See, because He's showing them the expression of God Almighty through an individual. And somebody will want that fruit. Now, let's just say you're around someone that has just eaten some of that fruit. They've seen that fruit in that individual. The next thing you know, you get with them and we get all fleshly. What just happened? The devil, we just allowed access to the devil, to that individual, to disqualify us from bearing good fruit. That individual is going to think that person's not right. I can't, even though you'll bear good fruit afterwards, you're going to have to earn that trust again. You know, it's just like when I was out as a drug addict and so forth, and even though I got slam dunked in the Holy Spirit and was delivered and healed and whatever, when the Lord restored my wife to me, I had to earn her trust. Amen. She began to see the fruit. The first thing she realized was the love of God, the presence of the Lord. She began to see fruit. I didn't go try to tell her how to live her life yet. Yet. See, because she was eating of the fruit of the tree from the Lord. And as she began to eat more of the fruit, then she would ask the question. See, I couldn't go tell her, because how could I tell someone of all the things I did and lost her trust and her? I couldn't just go tell her. I couldn't get right back into my family and try to tell my child how to do this and how to do that and whatever, because I wasn't right yet. Just because I was right with God, I wasn't right with them yet. I hadn't earned their trust. And let me tell you something. You can be bearing good fruit. And when you try to force things into individuals' lives, the devil's going to take that and use it against you. You're going to actually push them away instead of draw them to you. Does everybody understand that? So there was a period of time where, you know, I had the joy of the Lord and whatever. But you know what? When you're drunk in the Spirit, you don't care. When you have the joy of the Lord, you don't care. The only thing you care about is God's presence and His love. And others begin to pick up on it. They'll want to eat some of your fruit. But they're not your fruit. It's the Lord's fruit. He's just expressing it through you, isn't He? Oh, hallelujah. So remember, He says, "I chose you." You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I chose you so that you can bear a lot of fruit, so my Father can get glorified, and so that when you're walking right and you're maintaining these fruits, whatever you ask, I'll give you. You know why? Because you're not going to ask anything that's not already imparted in you that He wants you to ask. You won't ask the things of the flesh or the carnal. You ask the things of the Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, Philippians 1. Philippians chapter 1. You know, the devil likes to take that fruit and turn it sour. Philippians Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. Would you read it with me, please? In verse 9, chapter 1 and verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. So these fruits are not only holy, but they are righteous fruits. Amen? And who are they by? Which are by Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Anointed One and His anointing. Glory to God. James chapter 3. Glory to God. James chapter 3. All to God be the glory. In verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct, or good fruits. Anybody understand that? That his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But this wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, which means submit, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You know, anything associated with the Holy Spirit or heavenly things produces good fruit. Amen? It produces good fruit. Why? Because we're yielding. He just says, remember, willing to yield, gentle, full of mercy and good fruits. Willing to yield, which means submit, surrender. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says, and you will know them by their fruits. So we want to be fruity, not granola. Not nutty and fruity, just fruity. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 5, I think. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Yeah, that's good. Praise God. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith what? Virtue to virtue. Knowledge to knowledge what? Self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor what? Unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks in these things is what? Short-sighted, even blind to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Wow. Self-control. Let me share with you what self-control means. Control over self. Self-control is control over self. That means you have dominion. Remember, the spirit is not associated with self. Self represents that of old nature. That's why Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but he that lives within me. Who? So when he realized the things that he was doing at certain times, he recognized it as being himself. And he didn't want it. He cried out to God 3 times. Lord, deliver me. Blamed it on Satan. Said Satan buffeted my flesh, but it was his self. God couldn't deliver him unless he killed him. Hello? Does everybody understand that? How many times, part of great revelation, he realized the closer he got to God that there was still something hindering him. Him. Hello? It was him. It was self. Deliver me, Lord. I know you can do it. Kill me. Self-control is control of self. And control of self is the fruit of the Spirit. It has dominion over yourself. You know, you can't trust yourself. We tried and lost. People who trust themselves are always in trouble. Okay, so self-control represents control of self, which means dominion over self, which means deny self, which is the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Hebrews chapter 12. Glory to God. Isn't self-control a fruit of the Spirit? Why? Because it's control over self. Glorious. Hebrews 12. Of course, to maintain these fruits, God says He prunes you, so He chastens you. And that He does. And verse 11, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but what? Is everybody there? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Hallelujah. Would you read verse 11 with me, please? Come on, confession brings possession. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Hallelujah. Chastening manifests when self is not denied. When you're not able to control self and it's not denied, there's chastening. Why? Because God's trying to express Himself through us. And it's a yield righteous fruit. Colossians chapter 1. Praise be to God. Man, time is flying. What's up? Is everybody all right? I don't know if I can get this all in. So if you hear me really quick, we're trying to get it all on the tape. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Would you read it with me? For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering, with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Oh, hallelujah. Fruitful in works. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Is everybody there? In verse 10 and 11. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberty, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Oh, hallelujah. Sowing seed produces righteousness. In other words, that fruit that you're, there's seed in that fruit, isn't there? So as God's expressing himself through you and the fruits, there is seed in that fruit. Amen? That you're, he's allowing you to partake in sowing this seed, which produces righteousness. Is everybody with me? Matthew chapter 13. Ooh, cool. In verse 23, somewhere around there. Let's try verse 22 and 23. Now he receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. And it becomes what? Unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. In other words, sowing. God is talking about multiplication here now. The Bible says what you sow is what you reap, correct? Let me share something with you. You sow respect, you reap it, respect. You sow disrespect, you reap disrespect. You sow unrighteousness, you reap unrighteousness. You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. Sowing and reaping. Remember, God is trying to express himself through you so he can rescue, so he can plant seed, right? What you do with that seed is very important. Even in the finances. What you do with the financial seed God gives you, because it's not our finances anyways, isn't it? Remember, he's always trying to get something to you. So the law of sowing and reaping is constantly in effect, no matter what it is. What you sow is what you reap. And he said it right here. He said, here's an individual that God gave him the seed, right? But because of the cares of the world, choked it. So he was not able to bear good fruit. He was unfruitful. You know what? He didn't know what to do with that seed. That seed died. That seed did not get planted in the right place. It could not grow and bear fruit. Remember it says, if you abide in me, right? If you abide in me, you'll become a tree of righteousness, a tree that bears fruit, and whatever it does will what? Prosper. That means multiply. Grow. So it's so important of what we're sowing. Even in frustration and anger. Even in... Remember, what did we just read in Galatians? And it talked about, well, if you are conceited, jealousy, or provoking, what are you sowing? You're sowing corruption. You're going to reap it. Aren't you? If you sow disrespect, you'll be disrespectful. If you sow honor, you receive honor. If you sow dishonor, you receive dishonor. If you sow mercy, you receive mercy. If you sow grace, you receive. If you sow righteousness, you receive. Does everybody understand that? See, so even with the fruits that God has given us, what we're sowing, we're going to reap in every area. Why? Because he's trying to express himself through me and you in every area of our life. In attitude, in motive, in desire, in thought, and in word. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4. Now what was the first fruit we talked about? Love. Love. Oh, hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4. In verse 18 it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. You know what torment is? Stress, anxiety, fear, anxiousness. I gotta and I wanna. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he what? First loved us. Oh, hallelujah. What's the second fruit? Joy. Let's go to Psalm 16. I'm going to have to shorten this. So praise God. Psalm 16. Thank you, Jesus. Perfect love casts out all fear. Psalm 16 and verse 11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is what? Fullness of joy. These are part of the fruits, aren't they? At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Praise God. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. So we talked about joy. Of course, we already talked about self-control. Let's talk about peace. We need some peace, man. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 4. Would you read it with me? Rejoice in the Lord always. How can you be joyful in the Lord if you're not in His presence? Can't. Again, I say rejoice. Let your what? Gentleness or your meekness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Hallelujah. And how's that known? By the fruit of the Spirit. God expresses Himself. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, to God be the glory. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and verse 15 and 16. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Talk about humble. However, for this reason I have obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. So He was showing us a pattern of long suffering. Let me share something with you about long suffering. Long suffering, sometimes we're waiting on something. That's part of long suffering. I remember one time the Lord sent me to court. Well, He didn't send me to court. The devil sent me to court, but God was with me. And I got harassed. This officer said I was reckless driving. Pulled me out, harassed me, told me I loved him anyways. So I went to court to fight it, and I was the last one in the courtroom, man. I said, Lord, is this the part of this long suffering? And He said, yes. He said, now when you get out there, just be quiet. Of course, my flesh wanted to defend myself. And before I could defend myself, the judge said, dismissed. The officer didn't show up. See you later. Okay. And I left. And I said, you know what? That long suffering was worth it. because he made a way of escape. Sometimes that people are trying to do things before God's time because they're not willing to go through that long suffering, and God cannot make a way of escape for you because that's what he's trying to do. That's why sometimes there's a delay of things. And they walk right into the hands of the enemy. And of course they blame God for not doing what they need. Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, thank you, Lord. Starting in verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. How many of y'all want to be a prisoner of the Lord? Praise God, we were a prisoner of the devil for such a long time. Beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with you were called. What? Lowliness, humbleness. With all what? Gentleness. And what? Long-suffering. Bearing with one another in what? Love. It's all the fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? Endeavoring to keep the what? Unity of the Spirit in the bond of what? Peace. Man, that's all fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? Kindness. Oh, to God be the glory. Turn to Psalm 27. Gladius. Psalm 27. Praise you, Lord. And verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in the smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the what? Goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Long-suffering. Be patient. Be of good cheer, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. All to God be the glory. You know, the opposite of good is what? Bad. Evil. Goodness and bad, right? Everybody said evil. Praise God. Glory to God. Turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. I think we were there already, weren't we? Good. Okay, Matthew 25. I'm game. You know, there's this slang goes out now. When people make a mistake, they say, my bad. I'm like, come on, man, what you saying? My bad, what'd you just do? You just sowed in your life that you're bad. You just cursed yourself. My bad. How about, forgive me? Or, my mistake. Not, my bad. I'm bad. You know, remember when we used to go around in the world, I'm bad, man. You were so bad. I'm bad. You know, how the devil always takes everything and reverses it, you know. I'm bad. Man, and we were bad. Bad to the bone. Wow, I haven't heard that in a while, huh? I mean, think about what the secular music is, too. They curse themselves. Anybody who sings it curses themselves, too. The devil ain't stupid. My bad. Oh, man. Okay, how about my mistake? Hallelujah. Verse 23. Would you read it with me? His Lord said to him, what? Well done, good and what? Faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. What's he looking for? Someone who is good and what? Faithful. That means someone he can trust. Someone he can trust. You know, we're all learning to trust, earning the trust of the Lord, aren't we? Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. We are to be good and faithful servants. Isn't faithful a fruit? Isn't good a fruit? Gentleness? Amen? All those are fruits of the Spirit. Why? That's God expressing himself through us, isn't he? Hallelujah. Huh? It's okay. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 3. Is everybody there? Good. And verse 3. Would you read it with me? Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, and putting on fine apparel. Man, some people will spend more time in the mirror trying to manifest their own fruit. I'm telling you what. The problem is the fruit of God ain't manifesting. They try to smell themselves up, you know, perfume and all kinds of stuff, slick the head, wear the clothes, dress up, and nowhere to go. Hallelujah. You know, man, you know, they walk by the mirror, they can't get... spit on their hand and slick their head back. That is not the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is God expressing Himself through you, not what you look like. Because there's a lot of people who can dress up and are wicked. Some of the most beautiful looking people in the world are the most evil. Until they meet Jesus. Now you've got the opportunity to allow God to express Himself through you. So that means that dying has got to stop. Hello? Glory to God. It's okay. Do not let your adornment be merely what? Outward. Arranging the hair, wearing the gold, piercing the tongue, and becoming a serpent. You know, only serpents have pierced tongue, forked tongue, that's right. I mean, the devil ain't dumb. All these people piercing their tongues, they look like a serpent. They can't even talk right. You know. I remember the first time I met someone, I thought, man, why don't you just swallow what's in your mouth and then we'll talk. Anyway. In verse 4, would you read it with me? Rather, let it be the hidden person of the what? Heart. With the incorruptible beauty of what? Gentle and quiet spirit. Which is very precious in the sight of God. A gentle and quiet spirit. Not an overbearing. Not a controlling. Right? But a gentle spirit. And the Bible says one of the greatest ways that you and I could speak to someone is with a soft answer. Colossians chapter 3. All to God be the glory. We're going to close here. Does everybody understand more of the fruits of the Spirit tonight? They're holy. They're not our fruits. They're God expressing Himself through us. Glorious. And verse 12. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, that's good. Verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on what? Tender mercies. Come on, read it with me. Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of God of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Lord, we thank you for your mercies and your grace. We thank you for wanting and desiring to express yourself through us. And Holy Spirit, we repent for every time we grieved you by word, by thought, by action, by attitude, by motive, and by desire. Lord, we ask that your desires and your way, that you would possess each and every one of these vessels. That you would remove from us all the uncleanliness and the unfruitful activities and every associated spirit that is involved with these unfruitful activities. Lord, when you want to express yourself through us, Father, we give you free rein. Again, we ask for your forgiveness of those areas that we have rejected you and expressing yourself through us. And you know where they are, Daddy. So please, bring light and truth. And express yourself through us so that you may be glorified, honored, respected, and exalted in everything we do in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.